Good morning, everyone. He is truly wonderful, and we can't go wrong when we're entirely focused on Him. The glories of Christ, the wonders of Christ, the love of Christ, the character of Christ, the works of Christ. Oh, Jesus, we love you. What grace is ours. We've been gifted with the joy of heaven. Amazing. And by an absolute miracle, together we share in this one precious, truly incomparable life of Christ. It's His life. And amazingly, He makes us alive, who were once dead in trespasses and sins. He makes us alive and He joins us with Him, the one true life, and then fills these vessels, our lives, with our enlivened spirits, joined to His great life-giving Spirit, and so we live. No wonder Jesus said He's come to give us life and life in all its fullness. He wasn't kidding. He wasn't giving us a substitute or a replica. He was giving us Himself. The Father was giving His absolute best. The joy of heaven, the pulsating, eternal, pure life of the Son of God. And how is it possible? Well, He pours out the Holy Spirit. After Jesus had done the impossible work, He dies, He rises again, He sends to the Father, He presents the finished work, and on the day of Pentecost, oh, praise God, the life of God, pure, undiluted, unceasing, the only answer, the only remedy for this broken world, comes gushing, pouring, incessant from above, and fills the hungry, parched, empty lives of those who are waiting for Him with hope in their hearts, and they were filled with this. Jesus Christ, no other. In the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are recipients of this, my friends, even today. This isn't a once-off. This is an ever-flowing river, pouring incessant from above. Ha! Isn't that wonderful? Oh, glory. It's good to sing of Him, isn't it? It's good to remind ourselves. It's good to feast on the broken bread and drink representatively the life of Jesus, the only hope. The only hope. Oh, glory to God. So we're going to, you probably guessed, we're going to have a think again about Jesus. Praise God. I read this passage, I think probably it was back in April, so I'm not expecting you to remember. I'm not going to question you. I'm just going to read the passage. We're in Luke 8, and I'm going to read from verse 40 down to the end of the chapter. I think when I last visited this passage, I talked about it as a tale of two daughters. A tale of two daughters. And if you're into literature, you might be thinking it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Obviously, that was A Tale of Two Cities. We're not going there. A Tale of Two Daughters. And so it was in verse 40 of chapter 8. And so it was when Jesus returned. We could stop there. We're not going to, but that's wonderful. And so it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed Him. For they were all waiting for Him. Any kind of connection with that lovely verse? Oh, praise God, He's coming. I want to be among those who are waiting expectantly and those who welcome Him when He comes, do you? And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. He was at the top of his particular tree, shall we say, and he fell down at Jesus' feet. That's quite surprising for a man of his stature and status in the community, in this public context, to fall down at the feet of Jesus, and he begged him to come to his house. Now, if you didn't know what the context was, you would be wondering, I'm sure, the people who saw this man who was respected and was the leader, he was a ruler of the synagogue in that community, when they saw him act like this, they must have thought, what on earth is going on? So Jairus is at the feet of Jesus, begging him to come to his house. What brought this man low in this public context? His daughter was dying. We read that in verse 42, he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age. Just, again, in that culture and context, just on the cusp of womanhood. His only daughter, there's probably a backstory there. So much wrapped up for Jairus in his only daughter. And there she is, when she should be emerging into the first stages of womanhood. In fact, she's dying. It's the opposite of all his hopes and dreams. But as he went, so we have here implicit that Jesus responded to Jairus and his cry of desperation. And he went with him. He was heading to his house, and the multitudes thronged him. We see that the multitudes who welcomed him were also on the move. This isn't a static situation. This is, dare I say, a little chaotic. And the multitudes thronged him. When I read these stories, I don't know about you, but I try and put myself in the shoes. I know it's impossible to do if it isn't your own experience, but I try to put myself in the shoes. Dear Jairus, he's made it to Jesus. He's thrown caution to the wind. His status, his reputation, what people thought of him, he just throws himself. He's got to Jesus. He throws himself there and begs. No shame. He'll do anything to get Jesus to come with him. And then up, and he responds, and the Lord's going, and then the multitudes are thronging. Oh, this is emotive stuff. This is pressure. Can you sense it? Even in these early verses, the multitudes thronged him. They're all wanting a piece of Jesus for a whole load of reasons. And in verse 43, just when you're hoping the one who's opened the way, the one who's come from the exquisite glory and purity of heaven down to this broken world, like we heard prayed out earlier and like we've sung about, it looks like Jesus he's opened the way for Jairus. He's heard his cry, he's going, and then it's like, it's kind of, we're getting bottleneck situation. And then just when they're kind of on the way there, now, a woman, having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border, touched the hem of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood, which had plagued her for 12 years, immediately she touched the hem, secretly from behind, her issue was dealt with. Her flow of blood stopped. And at that point, in a sense, we could say, well, that's wonderful. That's great for us to see that. Job done. Sorted, almost imperceptible to the throng, maybe even Jairus at this point, and you think, just crack on, time is of the essence. In the context of prayer, which we've been considering, this is very limited thinking, but Do we ever think that's maybe, Lord, if you just focus your efforts on this particular prayer, attend to this. Jairus, I'm sure he was hanging on to the Lord. He was keeping ever so close. Come on, we've just got to keep going. My daughter. And Jesus in verse 45. We know the story, but you've got to get the drama of it. You just see him. Who touched me? I love it, Peter. Go on, Peter. When all denied it. I mean, can you imagine that bit? That's just a little clause there thrown in. Wasn't me. Sorry, that was an accident. I didn't mean to. I might have done. Did you? What? It's a bit crushed round here. Too many people. Order. Brr, brr. You remember the picnic? No. Oh, no, I'm thirsty. Mom! It's all going on. And Jesus, who touched me? It wasn't me. Ding, ding, ding. And at some point, Peter's like, okay, somebody needs to get a grip on the situation here. I'm going to speak, but it says, on behalf of those with him. So Peter and those with him said, whether Peter was articulating sort of the group opinion, Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, who touched me? I can't get the tone right, but I've got a few ideas in my head. I think I understand a little of where Peter's coming from. Do you? Do you ever feel like that? May not be this situation, but sometimes in life, often it's under great pressure. Often it's when you're praying, and we talked last time about, in quotes, unanswered prayer. We had a fascinating discussion on our table, and we did away with the phrase unanswered prayer. I don't know what you did on your tables, but that's what we did. And we decided that actually the Lord hears all our prayers, and he answers them all. It's just that sometimes the answer is no. And other times the answer is not yet. And the not yet might be a long, long time. We might be on amber. Do you remember that traffic light illustration? You might be on amber and start to think the traffic light's got some electrical faults. You need to call a council. Someone needs to sort this light out. And the other answer might be absolutely the green light. Immediately. How do you think that woman felt? 12 years. We'll talk about this lady a little more detail in a moment, but 12 years. I'm sure she'd prayed. I'm sure she'd wept. She'd tried everything. She'd gone here, there, and everywhere. How was she dealing with that in terms of answered prayer? And then this moment, a moment comes. She somehow, and we may comment on that, but somehow, amazingly, in her condition, she managed to get through the press, the throng. Covert op, it's phenomenal how she got there. The moment she touches the border of his garment, immediately, there's answer. Wow. So here we are. Master, says Peter and the others, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, he's on a whole different level. Jesus kind of answers with his answer. He answers their question and then takes them up a notch. He says, somebody. Don't you just love that in the crowd? Somebody. I'm talking about one particular individual. there's a somebody in this throng. Somebody, touch me. And I'm not talking what they'd probably been going on about, a little accidental nudge. Having said that, if you read in the other Gospels, there's crowd, throng situations, and the people are all wanting to touch. And it actually says about the hem of his garment. You can read it in Matthew and you can read it in Mark. And as many as touched the hem of his garment were made whole. Remarkable. But here, it's like the Lord is going right down to the one-on-one in the most surprising context. Somebody touch me, for I perceived power going out from me. Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling. Can you imagine now, jump into the shoes of this particular dear lady, and they're saying, who touched me? Who touched me? And she knows Jesus is onto her, but she's tried to do it hidden for a whole load of valid reasons. And then Jesus says, somebody. Have you ever been in that situation where you sense the Lord is saying, there's somebody here? I've been in some of those meetings, not entirely comfortable every time that happens, but you know, when the speaker says, there's somebody here. And sometimes the Lord has really used that and worked through people. Other times I'm not quite sure what's been going on. But anyway, leave that. Jesus is saying somebody. And the woman knows he's talking about her. And it says, when the woman saw that she was not hidden. This is a revelation, isn't it? Like that revelation back in Genesis. And the revelation comes, I'm the God who sees. Do you remember that? Hagar? I'm the God who sees. There's nothing hidden from his sight. There's no one hidden from his sight. He sees you. He sees me. We heard about, is it Nathaniel? Sorry, I'm going a little off piece. Under the fig tree last week. When you're under the fig tree, I saw you. Zacchaeus, he wasn't under a tree, he was up a tree. I saw you. Psalm 139. Where can I go? I can descend to the highest place. I saw you. I can descend to the depths of the lowest place. I see you. Where can you run from the Almighty and His sight? Oh, praise God, and Jesus has come for this woman. And when she saw that she was not hidden, when she saw that she was seen, she came trembling. Trembling. Amazing thing is, she's coming now fully restored physically. She's got her strength back. But she comes with her physical strength back, trembling. And just like Jairus, she falls down before him. Now we're at the other end of the spectrum here. We've just had, earlier in the chapter, top of the tree, societally speaking, ruler of the synagogue. And he falls to the feet of Jesus. And now we've got this woman, we'll see in just a moment, all the things that disqualified her. And she's down at the feet of Jesus. Can I just ask you, whatever your situation, whatever your status in life, whatever your circumstances, has life, and actually it's God's grace, this grace that calls through the darkest night to reach our distant souls, has He brought you to this place, the feet of Jesus, where in one sense you could not care less about anything or anyone else? This is it. It's you and Him. Oh, what a place. You come trembling. But this is a place of grace. This is a place of power. This is a place of salvation. This is a place of absolute miracle. Where it's you, the creator of your eternal soul, and you yourself, somebody. He knows your name, by the way. You're not just somebody. We're coming here. It's wonderful. It's precious beyond our articulating of it. And there she is. She's down there just like Jairus before. Falling down before him. And she does this amazing thing. She declares to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him. And how she was healed immediately. That is phenomenal. On so many levels, that is phenomenal. Part of me, when I read that, I think, oh, this is such a delicate situation. We don't want this woman exposed. But can I say, this is not what is going on. Jesus is dealing with her uniquely, knowing her through and through, knowing her story from start to this point and where it's heading to. And he's doing something in this very act that's as wonderful, if not more wonderful. We can't really talk about it like that. But it's definitely as wonderful as the miraculous physical healing that has just taken place. And it all comes out of this dear woman. It's as if the crowd isn't there. It's as if the multitude and the throng and the storm and the pressure and all that is actually physically still there surrounding them. It's as if in that moment, in the presence of the only one, that it all has gone. And it's her and Jesus, the lover of her soul. And listen, he says to her, daughter. Daughter. Never spoken like that before. Daughter. Wow. In that one word, there, in the presence of the multitude, with Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, still hanging on to Jesus for the sake of his daughter. Can you Jesus. Daughter. And in that instant, the dignity that was conferred on that woman, societally, the restoration that takes place there, Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, chief of chiefs, ruler of heaven and earth, creator of everything. Not that they fully understood that, but that was who he was. He says to this broken, outcast woman, with Jairus right there, in the community, daughter. Daughter. Isn't that beautiful? Truly, truly, my daughter, my son. Have you heard him speak over you like that? I can't begin to tell you the different levels, the physical, the emotional, the psychological, the spiritual restoration that takes place in a life where you're one-to-one with Jesus and you hear him speak to you like that. My son. I don't know who you identify with in a sense, sort of, societally, is it Jairus, sort of respected, etc., or is it this outcast woman because of all her situations? They both fell at the feet of Jesus. Level playing field. This world put so much on status and education and background and this and that and the other. It's a level playing field. This amazing grace, we have to come the same way. There at the feet of Jesus. Whether you're a king, whether you're a leader of the Western world, whether you're a homeless man or woman on the streets of whichever city it is, in whichever country of the world, in one sense, in this regard, there is absolutely no difference. We're all utter paupers who have to come. And the Lord, it's His goodness that leads us to this place. It's His goodness that brings us low. It's His goodness that brings us to this place of brokenness and repentance, where there's no pretense anymore. It's just pure, kind of, how can I put it, raw. I need You. Oh God, I need You. Every hour. It's our song, if you've been touched by grace, you don't move far from here, my friends, do you? It's, I need You, Lord. Oh, may He save us from any sense of, oh, we were saved and such, and now, check me out. What a trophy of grace. Oh, look at those needy people. No. Oh, I need You. Oh, praise Him. Praise Him. Daughter, be of good cheer. Wow. Wow. The heavens are singing the songs. Oh, that dear woman, I'm not being funny, she must have been all over the place. I guess it took a little while for her emotions to settle. Seriously, she didn't take this one in her stride. She would have just been beside herself. I wouldn't have been surprised if she's sobbing, and then she's laughing, and then she's, wow, what? Jairus is still there. Wow, what an interruption. Jump back, Jairus. My daughter, my daughter. And Jesus is saying to this woman, it's like He's not just stopped, and we've had a little discussion about who touched me. Let's clear it up. It wasn't just a brush. There was something that happened and power went from me. Okay, that's great. I'm glad we've got that sorted. Still, time is of the essence. You can feel the tension. How long? Oh, Lord. How long? Your faith has made you well. He's totally focused, if I can put it like that, on this dear woman who has just kind of got a healing by stealth. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And then the drama doesn't abate while He was still speaking. So He's actually still communicating to this dear woman. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. She's been restored physically, emotionally. She's been restored in the sense of the community. On every level, this woman has been restored. Oh, praise God. What a miracle. And while He's still communicating this great salvation, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying, your daughter is dead. We were just at Cartmel yesterday, and we were in the Priory, beautiful day, and we were just reading some of the headstones. I'm a cheery chap, me. Chan reminded me that on our honeymoon I wanted to visit all the cemeteries on the Greek island we were staying on. I just find them interesting places. I like reading headstones. Sorry. Lee likes, sorry, are you okay if I share this? Yeah. Lee likes good obituaries. good to be open, isn't it? I feel like the crowd's disappeared. I'm in a little one-to-one here. Gravestones, obituaries. So some of them, Chan just commented, it's interesting the language we use, and some of the inscriptions were da-da-da-da, departed, such and such, passed on. And I know what we're trying to do. We're trying to handle this whole subject with care and dignity, and sometimes it's difficult to just say how it is, but in this situation, boom, your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the teacher. It's over. Too late. He might well have shown willing. He's come so far. It's over now. That, as we just look at it there, honestly, that is a huge thing to handle, isn't it? But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, and again, the words of Jesus. Can you imagine Jairus? He's just taken one. Bang. And he's reeling. The grief must have just hit him. It's too late. She's dead. And into that, Jesus just says, don't be afraid. Believe, and she'll be made well. Wow. Don't be afraid. Believe, and she'll be made well. Remarkable. When he came, so then it's almost like we speed up a little here in the story. When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James and John and the father and mother of the girl, Jairus and his dear wife. And all wept and mourned for her. But he said, do not weep, she's not dead. Wow, that's a contradiction to the earlier statement. She's sleeping. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. He put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, little girl, arise. Her spirit returned. So, she was dead. Some people sort of say the fact that the Lord said she was sleeping meant that she hadn't actually died, so all the mourners had kind of got mistaken. But clearly says here, her spirit returned. That's a miracle, just in case you in case we missed that. And she arose immediately. This immediately, it's amazing. I always thought Mark was the master of immediately, but Luke is giving it some immediately here. And she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat, and her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Wow. What a passage. What a story. What a tale of two daughters. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the best of times. It's all going on there. And there's so much in here. Praise God, it's speaking of the immediate, it's speaking of life in general, it's speaking of past, present and future. Oh, how wonderful. We're just going to, in the few moments we've got, just pull out a number of themes. It's great just to read it together, isn't it? And kind of live the story a little. The Lord can work wonderfully as we do that. I think we talked last time about the context. I think we overdid the context possibly last time. We talked briefly about the accessibility of Jesus. If you like, his availability. This is a tricky one. There's tension here in his earthly life. When we talk about accessibility and availability, there's tension even in the story we talked about. So Jesus is here on the earth, and Jairus gets to him, like we saw, and begs him, and he responds to that need. But Jesus is, if can I put it this way, restricted to his earthly body, so he's actually having to walk, and the crowds, he doesn't just go and do a kind of vroom. He walks and he's in the press. And then the woman who's been with an issue 12 years then makes connection with the Lord. So you would think, just for economy of time, maybe all that we've looked at, deal with that, but somehow without wasting time for the sake of Jairus. There's tension here. He's accessible and available, but in a sense, in his earthly body, restricted. Can I just say this point? We now, by an amazing miracle of grace, are the body of Christ on the earth. But any one of you is restricted by the fact that you are in a physical body. Lee, I'm going to, because you're sitting there and you told me about the obituaries. Lee, I don't mean to state the obvious, can't be everywhere at once. He's gifted man, but he hasn't got that special power. So when he's dealing with a situation on the phone, for example, he can't be on another phone dealing with 101 other requests at the same time. Lee is a part of the body of Christ on the earth. Same with you, Dad. I know you try your best to do everything. You too are a part, a member. Are you getting the point? It's an important point. Because sometimes we think we, single-handedly, can give it our best shot to save the world. Apart from anything else, you're going to get exhausted. We have to do what the Lord enables us and calls us to do and be faithful to that and that alone. Not the pressures of the throng. Not Jesus amazingly here shows us something remarkable. Can't be everywhere at once. He'd just gone off on the boat and done something absolutely phenomenal with that hopeless case who was far too terrible to help. Jesus went for him. So all the multitudes who wanted to touch the hem had to wait back on the other side of the river. And then when he came back, they were still there. Do you see the point? But by the power of the Spirit, and this is amazing, the way he works through his body. When he talked about greater things, I believe he was touching on this, that he was going to fill countless millions of his believers with his same life, like we said at the very beginning. And each in our own little way can be an expression of the accessibility and the availability of Almighty God. What a wonderful way to choose. You, in a small hidden way, can be the ministry of this wonderful truth that God is accessible. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Glory to his name. He's available. This isn't based on your calendar. This is based on his sovereign wisdom and choosing and the way he moves by his Holy Spirit in and through his people. Isn't that wonderful? Be released, my friends, from unnecessary burdens. You can become fanatical and be released into the joy of serving him cheerfully. You can't be everywhere at once. You can't do everything. That's okay. Relax a little. Are you hearing me? I'm not at all speaking about laziness. Please don't misunderstand me. Glory to his name. This is a wonderful truth. He's accessible. And he wants to express that availability and accessibility through us, his people. What about the ability of Jesus? This is a wonderful word. This is the second thing I just want to draw out. The ability. You know when Jesus said in the middle of that, "Who touched me?" discussion. And then he says, "Somebody touched me." And he says this, I perceived power going out from me. So, see the picture? People touching all the time, jostling. Jairus probably hanging on to him. But when this woman came, and she reached out and touched the hem of his garment, power went out. This is an amazing insight into the inner world and working of the Son of Man on the earth, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, the incarnate Christ. I perceived power. That's dunamis. I think that's how you say it, or something like that. Power and ability. This is inherent power. I love words. Sorry, just let me do this. If you're not interested, just have a little snooze and I'll wake you up in a sec. This is inherent power, resident power by virtue of its nature of which a person exerts and puts forth. That's the power we're talking about. This is the power, the ability to perform outstanding miracles that are not normal, if you like. Not the ordinary way that the Lord set up the working of this world. This is miraculous ability and power to intervene. And this is moral power and excellence of soul as well. What a rich word this is. Power. I perceived power going out from me. Excellence and virtue and healing and ability. As the woman touched, so the power came out of him and flowed into that dear woman. How wonderful. And this is a woman who, according to the Talmud, which is, if you're interested, the central text of Rabbinic Judaism, no less than 11 different remedies are proposed for her problem. Apparently at most 6 can be possibly regarded as astringents or tonics. The rest are probably superstitious. But nonetheless, if you're desperate, she's probably, I would hazard a guess, tried over 12 years. She's tried 11. That's approximately one a year. I think she would have been looking for more. In my own experience with, you know, I've got a bit of ill health or a bit of a, we've looked, we've taken this, that and the other, we've been to see, we've chatted, I've thought, I've written down, I've done all kinds of stuff. This dear woman wanted a solution to her problem. She's tried everything. But the problem is compounded, the way she's viewed, unclean. We can read that in Leviticus. Not just her, but anyone who happens accidentally to touch her then becomes ceremoniously unclean. So this is a real tricky situation. And Jesus says, the Holy One. Jairus, head of the synagogue. Jesus. Sorry, mate. He's outdone you. He's the anointed one. He's the Messiah. He's the head honcho. He's the King of the Jews. He's the King of the whole world. He's there, standing next to him. And this woman, the unclean one, is able to touch the Holy One. And wonderfully, he's not contaminated, but rather virtue and purity and ability and healing flows from him into this dear woman, and she's made whole, she's cleaned. Isn't that wonderful? It's just truly staggering that he is the just one, and he's the one who's able to justify sinners, because he's taken it all at the cross once and for all. You know, any unclean person coming to Jesus on this line can touch him, can touch the Holy One and not fear that they're going to sully him. Sometimes we have a strange view of holiness and we get all closeted, mustn't get out there in the mix. We're too holy for that. Have you seen the state of them? Jesus wasn't like that. Oh, praise God. We need wisdom. Absolutely. Please don't misunderstand me. But Jesus is going for you and me in our unclean state. And somehow he can get us to this place where we touch him. What ability. Isn't that wonderful? Have you been made clean by the Holy One? it's worth rejoicing about at all. This dear woman, immediately clean. Ceremonially clean. The one who's right at the very top came right to the very lowest point, allowed her to touch him and ministered cleanliness. Wholeness. What ability that is. Oh, praise God. Power. And finally, the authority of Jesus. You know when he said to her, daughter? And when he said to the little girl, arise. Listen to this verse. You don't have to turn there. As many as received him, to them he gave the power. Now this power is exousia power. This is authority, right, privilege. It's a different word to the one we've just talked about, the ability. This is the authority of Jesus. It says, to as many as received him, to them he gave the power, the right, the authority to become the children of God. So when this dear woman came to Jesus, I mean, she must have not known which order it was going in. But this is all being fulfilled dramatically. And he says, daughter. She would have been thinking, Lord, you've received me. He was saying, your faith, be of good cheer, your faith, you received me. But I don't think she went away going, oh, right, okay, I saw that wrong. Wow, it was me. No. Oh, Jesus. It's just too wonderful. I'm your daughter. I have the authority to stand now with my head held high, not in my own ability or power, not in my own authority or privilege, but because you have spoken over me. Daughter, son, have you received him? Do you fresh this morning receive this one? Well, he grants you the authority. This isn't something to apologize about. He grants you the authority, the right, the privilege to be a son, to be a daughter of the living God. You know, the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, groaning. Oh, this is so wonderful. You're not left, in this sense, to limp along the rest of your life. I know in another sense, if it was a different message, we could talk about that. But in this sense, no. Authority to be a son and a daughter of God. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, praise God. Praise God. And just to close, I'm aware of the time again. I think we mentioned this last time, but I just want to make this connection. But to you who fear my name, it says in Malachi, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And apparently one translation of that, with healing in the hem of his garment. So what's going on between this woman? What's going on with all these desperate people reaching out to touch Jesus? To find that power, ability flows from him. That's one aspect. But then in the connecting with him, to find that he speaks over them. Son, it's not just your physical healing. I want to reinstate you in my love. I want to take you from outcast status. It's like if we were talking about in India, it'd be like from untouchable, not within the caste system, right out of the system, to sit as princes. Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful. Dear Hannah, keep thinking of her. The Lord's just working something wonderful on her behalf through you. Through us getting involved, just praying. But actually it's speaking something far beyond just the immediacy. I don't imagine this dear woman ever imagined that I'd be speaking about her story in 2019. in July in the Longcroft. Talk about a ripple effect. This went from secrecy, wanting to be hidden and remain incognito, and now I'm shouting my head off about the wonders of his grace related specifically to that woman's story. Don't underestimate the hint. It's not for you to get the, you know, to make, you know, do the big release, the press release. Oh, by the way, something amazing's happened through me. Da, da, da. No, no, no. But trust the Lord, the hidden things that he does, the works of power, whether they're seen or not seen. Do not underestimate the ripple effect that can go through the centuries. Glory to God. This story is current. There's many represented here. He's doing things not just for now, but for all eternity that will echo to the praise of his glory. Isn't he wonderful? Again, we've just skimmed the surface. Sorry about that, but I love the word, don't you? Wow. There's layer upon layer of goodness and virtue. So as we close now, I want to exhort you. You open up your hearts and lives and minds to receive, to reach out and touch him, to find that his virtue, his ability, his power, his dunamis flows into your life in new ways. And also you listen out for his voice singing over you, my friend, you specifically, daughter, son, go in my name, because you believe others will know that I live. Isn't it wonderful? And so he rides on. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray, shall we? Oh, Father. Father, we're full of gratitude and fresh wonder this morning. Oh, praise you. We bless you for who you are, Lord. We bless you for the unsearchable riches of your character and ability and authority and availability. All of these things we've just touched on, Lord, you are so, so much more. And Lord, we've realized, though we may be in the middle of what seems to be unanswered things, though we may identify with these tensions we've touched on today, Lord, we look to you, and as we heard the other week, we don't want to doubt your love or doubt your power. Though we may not have seen the outworking of what is in our hearts just at this moment, Lord, we want to reaffirm your magnificent love. Praise you, Lord. And your power, ability-wise and authority-wise. Lord, thank you that one day, at the end of the age, you're going to say, little daughter, son, arise. And what a resurrection it's going to be. Oh, praise you. Praise you. Open our eyes, Lord, to see the bigger picture of what you're about. That you haven't dropped the ball, Lord. You haven't lost control. You are absolutely sovereign and in control. Working mightily, hidden and seen. Praise your name. Fill our hearts with fresh faith and hope. And help us, Lord, to reach out and touch you. Not just for ourselves, Lord, but for those we pray for. Glory to your name. Though the throng may seem particularly crushing, and though there may be much apparently against us, Lord, help us push through and reach out and touch the hem of your garment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise you. Amen. Amen. Amen.